What's going on? This is Hoppy Hour. I am your host, Ryan Hoppy. And right now, on the show, Eric Nagel is on Hoppy Hour. What's going on, bro?
Hi, Ryan. How are you? You sure that this is the Hoppy Hour show? As you were introducing it, you didn't seem quite certain that this was what the program was.
I'm not certain what's going on. I've never used Zoom before for a radio show. I was freaking out. Like, not in like a panic attack way. But I was not sure how to use this. Like, I was like, I hope this works. That's why I was a little nervous.
Are you just doing audio? Are you doing video with this?
I have a Rodecaster Pro board. I'll show you. It's right here.
So, all right. Yeah.
So I have, yeah. So I just never used it. I usually do phone calls. So I was hoping my board would connect and then everything.
So far, so good. You should be using this more. I mean, unfortunately, this is how business is being done now. It's all Zoom, Microsoft Team, all of these things where this is how television's being done. It's how radio's being done.
Yeah, I think it's the way of the future. Do you ever, like, listen to old Opie and Anthony shows and just think about the idea that that format of what you guys said and the fact that there wasn't video, like, that's just never going to happen again?
I try not to, but yeah, that format's never going to happen again. That hot talk stuff, even regular talk on terrestrial radio, you guys, station that you're at in Tampa, the Bone, you guys are one of the last bastions of non-political, non-sports talk programming. Like, I think it's you and Real Radio in Orlando are like the last two that I'm aware of that are all on FM talk station, and it's lifestyle talk. You know, it's not leaning left, leaning right, only about this sports team or nationally syndicated, you know, fill in the blank kind of programming.
Well, I would say the only places that have hot talk that are left is, like, I saw in the ratings, they said that WMMS in Cleveland is that because they got Rover in the morning and then Alan Cox in the afternoon. And even though it's music during the day, like that, and I would say Elliot in the morning would count in DC. Just like those are like the like last ones.
He's the morning show on a rock station.
True.
Even though he's doing talk, that's a morning show. That's not a talk, a traditional or what would be genre specific of talk. It's a morning show. Like, he does stuff. He still has to play some music during his thing because he's not a national show. But I mean, just a whole station which is all talk shows is a relic at this point. I'm it's sad. I'm not saying that is to be like to shit on what you guys are doing in real radio and all that stuff. I'm glad you guys exist. You're like the last bastion, but to the industry and to the public listening, it's just a relic of a you know, bygone era. Younger people aren't listening to talk programming like that, especially not on the radio, if they're listening to podcasts at all.
Well, what I find aggravating, Eric, is it works. It works in Tampa. It works in Orlando. It works in Cleveland. So I don't know why radio programmers don't take the risk. Because in my opinion, the thing is, the times that they took a risk, if it was Howard, Opie and Anthony, Mancow in Chicago, Jonathan Brandmeier, any time they ever took a risk, it worked. And now radio is being cookie cutter, and you see all these polls every day where they say, oh, 85% of people listen to the radio every day. Well, it's like, also, you got Spotify and that. So I just think radio doesn't have balls anymore where they're not willing to roll the dice, and that's why it's
not at all. Not even willing to roll the dice. They're not even willing to roll the dice on the programming that fits their format. Like those shows that you mentioned, yeah, nobody's going to take a chance on any kind of talk stuff like that anymore. And the reason why you guys, The Bone, Real Radio, I always forget about Cleveland because nobody talks about them. But, you know, that station, why it's working is because they haven't been affected yet. Like, you know, like The Bone skirted with the Bubba stuff. And then, you know, when Calta took over the mornings, you guys have been, you know, putting out great programming, but not enough to rock the boat as far as social outrage or like the FCC stepping in, any of that kind of stuff. You guys have just been, you know how to maintain. If you guys had something that hit the station or Real Radio or the Cleveland station, that format would be gone. All those shows would be gone because it's a big cost cutting. It's expensive to run a talk station because you got to pay for hosts, producers, all that. Like, there's a lot more for an expense than it is to have a morning show and then music jocks or just music without the jocks throughout the day. Radio is not caring about talk programming anymore. You guys will last as long as the audience is there, and nothing happens that affects sales. And that's the truth. And that's really unfortunate because sales is running everything. It used to be programming and sales were totally separate. Sales runs everything. And now social outrage kind of, you know, forces company hands for or a small minority of people screaming on Twitter or another platform. And they're like, oh, my God, the whole country hates us. And it's like it really could just be 100 people, if that. But they see that constant. So there, it's like, oh, it's very loud, very vocal. We got to fire this show. You didn't really need to fire this show. And we've seen some examples, you know, where you just don't say anything or don't apologize either, unless it you hurt somebody or did something really terrible. Don't apologize for putting out entertainment and doing what you do. And then what happens in a couple of days, it blows over and they move to the next thing and they move to the next thing. So you can exist. So as long as nothing happens to those stations that would draw so much negative attention or affect the sales money coming in, you guys will just go for as long as it can. And God bless you guys for being able to do that. Just you haven't been hit with anything yet. That's why you guys exist. No other market, no other station's going to take the chance on an all FM style talk show anymore. Or talk station anymore.
Well, I thought about it too recently. Like all these companies and everybody thinks that what you see on social media is the whole wide world. So what I mean by that is, I'll get some mean comments on Twitter, and then I think all listeners are mean. But then last week, I went to a...
No, it's just my comments to you.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. You and Kelta. I'm just kidding, Kelta. But you, I go to like a Raptors game last week. They're here in Tampa for 1 year at the Amalie because they don't want to have basketball up in the Great North. And like I met two listeners, and I talked to them for 20 minutes, and it made me realize that like you're going to have your diehard fans that are going to be mean. Like, because I'm in a few Opie and Anthony groups just for the hell of it, and I'll see them write mean things about you. Oh, yeah.
Even the Opie and Anthony people aren't in the Opie and Anthony groups. You need to just...
I don't comment. I just look at it. They just... Oh, man, it's just... I've been in it for like 10 years. I do think about getting out.
They all hate us. They hate us. They hate Howard. They hate everything that they used to love. They hate, and they want it destroyed. So...
You know who I find nauseating? I don't know if you like them, is who are these podcasts? I just... Oh, I can't do it. I don't get it, but people seem to listen.
See, here's the thing. I did their show. I like their show. I know Carl. I enjoy what they do. Because when he started this thing, he reached out to Ant and to, I think, to Norton and Opie, and I don't think Opie responded to them. This is before they were going, at, you know, doing regular Opie segments. Saying, you know, we're doing this. It was a continuation of Jocktober, and Ant gave them the blessings. Like, go ahead, do it. There's not much in radio that we could do. Because people for years have been asking Anthony with Compound to bring back Jocktober when Opie and Jimmy were still a thing and Opie's solo show. They were like, bring back Jocktober. It didn't work anymore because most of those shows were gone. Even the terrible shows, like the guy-girl team, God forbid, a husband and wife team, you know, those kind of things, they were all gone. Because they there was just no, they had no ratings. The companies didn't want to pay for anybody. So Who Are These Podcasts took that and ran with it. And they're just going through horrible podcasts and I guess breaking it down and being funny with it. And yeah, I guess it's kind of like, well, they're shitting all over everybody. But
my thing is this. My thing is this,
they're
Eric.
They're usually right on a lot of their stuff.
Okay. My thing is this. Because they're very popular. I remember when they had like 20 reviews. Now they have 20,000. So it's worked. The thing I don't like about the podcast is, number one, I haven't listened recently, but when I did listen 2 years ago, they had awful equipment. That was the first thing. And I was like, if you're
awful
going to...
what?
Awful equipment. The equipment was just... Oh, okay. The microphone sucked. And I was like, if you're going to try to put into a memory of Jocktober, which was the greatest thing Opie and Anthony did, along with the great things they did, it's like, can you at least make it sound good? And the second thing is, when Opie and Anthony would rip into the radio shows, it made sense because Opie and Anthony were one of the greatest to do it, and I respected that they knew things. But you'll hear Carl and them talk about things, and I'm like, but you're a podcast. You never earned the millions. You never earned the name Opie and Anthony, so I don't know what gives you the right to rip into podcasts when you're
all
literally...
Right, well, you just answered your own question, because they're not doing radio like we were critiquing radio because we were all in radio. Everybody on that show, with the exception of maybe some of the staff, a lot of us were in the radio business 20, 30 years. So we've had experience being, I've worked at different stations, different formats, all of it. So I knew stuff, Ope knew stuff, Anthony knew stuff, and we could critique the radio stuff. They're doing podcasts and they're critiquing podcasts. So they're doing what essentially we did with going after radio shows. They're doing with podcasts because they're doing a podcast. So it's okay to do that.
Do you talk to Opie at all?
They're not going after radio shows for the most part. Like there's one or two that I think that they've talked about.
I think they actually talked about like Man, Cow, and Rover. So it's pretty much like the shock jocks that are left.
The two that you don't like, and that's fine. You know, you should
I don't mind Man Cow. I grew up on them.
Yeah, I know, but we hate Rover, so they were shitting all over. You should have at least have found something to enjoy, Ryan.
I know. No, can you believe Rover talked about me for 25 minutes on Friday?
No, because I don't listen to the show. And
I don't either. I got 200 follows on IG, and they were all Cleveland people. And I was like, what the fuck? I was like, what's going on? And I did.
Why did he bring you up? You haven't worked on that show in how long?
Six years. So what happened was so my mom totaled my car like 10 days ago when she was in town. Like she, Florida rain, she spun out in that. So my rich uncle, who is like a blessing, like it doesn't seem real. I have this uncle who lives very poor, but is a millionaire out in Los Angeles. He got me a new, he got me a new car. He got me a 2016 Honda Accord that's basically new. It has like 30,000 miles on it. Fresh car. I love it. So I was in the car wash and I barely left the back window open. Barely. And I was playing like EDM music and wearing like Timberland shades that I bought for like $10. I'm in a really good mood.
You deserve to have your car smashed if that's what you're doing.
So then they like talked about it for 25 minutes. And I was like, really? Yeah. There's no content going on. I don't know. I was a little annoyed. I had to talk to a few mentors because I really wanted to respond. Then you realize you like look at the person who is saying and you're just because
you're not you didn't draw the conclusion as to why he was talking about it. Your mom smashed your car. You got a new car and then you had a rave going through a car wash. Where did Rover come into this?
Rover played the video on air and mocked it. And then I've had everybody go, where's the car wash?
He took a video. Okay. Yeah.
No, it wasn't about my mom getting into a car crash. He played the video on air and then like put it in the podcast. And I'm like, you were the one that said that like I was never going to make it. And I'm like, now you're playing my shit. Like you're a little bitch. Because what's so pussified about them, it's so aggravating, is at least when I've had disagreements with Kelta and Drew, they make it fun. Right. It's fun. You respond back and forth. You call in. You argue. And then at the end of the day, you get a text from Kelta or Drew. And they're like, hey, man, we're just doing this for radio. This is fun. You're a good kid. That was great radio. You're the heel of the bone. With Rover, he's the biggest pussy ever because he doesn't respond. He doesn't follow anybody on Twitter. So then it's like I'm getting all the negative comments on my page. But I'm like, he doesn't give me a platform to, like, tweet back. And I'm like, dude, you're such a coward. It's so infuriating.
Yeah, he's terrible. He's only in a handful of markets, I think.
Can you see how I find that annoying? Like, it's not even like I work in the same market. It's like, go away.
I understand, but he rode the tail end. Like, he wasn't even during the heyday of syndicated FM talk or whatever.
Yeah.
He rode the tail end of all of this when he was gifted syndication after Howard left for taking the whole, like, Midwest of the country down through parts of the South and couldn't keep all that. He's got, you know, a few stations left, and he's just barely getting by with all of this because there's no buzz about him. There's nothing online that, you know, look, ONA's been done since 2014, and there's people who won't let it go. Howard, still on, but you still have people that are talking about all the time, you know, when Jackie was on, when Artie was still co-hosting, all of that stuff. Adam Carolla still has, you know, diehard fans. Lycus hasn't been on radio in forever, but he's been doing his live stream and podcast, and people still talk about him. Phil Hendry is another one that gets brought up all over the place. There's shows that people loved and were during the heyday of all of this stuff. Ron and Fez, even though Bennington is on with his new, like, their new version of the show, people still talk about Ron and Fez. People still post clips about Ron and Fez. You never heard Man Cow, and you never heard Rover. Ever.
Man Cow's a weird one, because when I was growing up, he was all over the newspaper, TV, billboards, bro. He had a book. I listened to him, and then there's just one year he fell off, and then he, like, did radio from, like, 2014 till, like, a year ago, but He's another fascinating one. And I've talked to him via DM, and he literally DMs the same way he talks on air. That like authoritative, whatever it is, it's very bizarre.
Here's what you do. Get the audio of Rover talking about you, or if he does video, whatever, get that. Re-encode it with your logo and all your social media stuff. Throw that up online and use it as a promotional tool. Just say, thanks for, the 15-minute commercial that the Rover gave me on it, you know, when he's in three markets and four people hear him. So, you know, he's allowed to punch up at this point to you.
It really was kind of flattering because I was like, I literally was a part-time phone boy for the show. And then like 6 years
I know,
later.
But you have a weird hang up about him. Like you still have a weird obsession, even though you've moved on and you're doing other things.
I don't have a weird obsession. I thought it was aggravating. I have no obsession with him. He's got an obsession with me. He talks about me.
That's fine too. But like, who cares? Use it, spin it to use it to as a promotional tool for your podcast and or I think you're live streaming now too or what?
Yeah, I joined the No Filter Network.
Every time I see your stuff, you're doing something else, and I go, I have no idea where this kid's going with all this, but he's doing like the same show.
Is that a good thing?
I keep seeing you do something, so you're trying and you're active. It's not like you fell by the wayside. I'm not saying that as a negative. I just don't understand half the shit you're doing because I can't follow it. But you're doing okay. Making it work for yourself. It's a backhanded compliment. I know, but you're doing something and I'm happy.
Do you want me to explain it?
No, not really.
Come on. So I do a podcast where I play celebrity news clips and I rant. Then that's heard on quadpod.com, QODPOD.com. It's a podcasting network. And it's heard on Z Radio Live with this guy named Zach Feldman, who used to work at like, PLJ and that, and he's got like internet radio, and then it's on every single platform that has a podcast, so like Spotify, Apple, iTunes. It sounds like a 90s radio show. I play news clip, I have production, so then I also interview people in radio, and I used to interview comedians, but they're douchebags. Like, they're not really fun to interview. I interviewed every comedian ever that's not Dave Chappelle. Like, anybody that went to Side Splitters Comedy Club, I interviewed. The big one is it's called No Filter Network, nofilter.net. It's a network of people that either got canceled in the sports world or up-and-coming professional athletes like Brian Urlacher, or like really big names, and they do shows online, and you pay like $2 to watch it. And very soon they're going to have pay per month like a subscription. So I joined that network. I had to apply. I had an interview with the network.
You have a .com because you're in like 9 different places. Do you have one place to centralize this?
RyanHobbyRadio.com. Yeah, I have a website. I do things.
That website is centralized, has everything listed for every way they can. Because nobody has a website anymore because sometimes it's not worth it. But you do need to have one kind of
Google
presence
thing,
online that you can just like go to whatever my name is.com and then it's like here's the links to my video version, my audio version, all that stuff. Just it's a one-stop shop kind of deal. Not go we're doing exclusively on the website. All right, I mean that's fine too, but just having it all combined together because you're doing one thing over here, one thing over here, one thing over here, and that's great. I'm not knocking that. It's just it's confusing when you're doing multiple plugs at the same time.
I know.
Three or four different things. People just go, I'm not even going to bother. I don't know where he is. So if you just promote, Monday night I'm doing this, whatever, Ryan, what's your site?
RyanHobbyRadio.com.
That's all you have to do. Just do the one plug, have them go there, and then it's right there.
I think I'm going to do that from now on. So you don't want me to keep promoting that it's on Spotify?
There's no need to. I mean, you can do it. Like if you do your social media stuff, have a graphic made with your .com and then it says as heard on these platforms. Or you do the hashtags when you post it on social media. It's all about just like, here's everything in a tight little package so people can see it and then they can pick and choose where they want to go with it. Because if you keep listing every platform you're on, people are just going to like, I'm not dealing with this.
I never thought of that.
People have such a short attention span and so impatient. I'm very impatient. I'll stay, you know, I'll keep my sanity waiting for certain things that I enjoy. But anything else that pops up, like your stuff that's there, you already lost me. I'm like, I'm not going to remember Z-Rock or whatever the Zach, whatever his name is. And that's not a shot at the guy. It's just there was so much information. It's not sitting there. So I know to go to your website and then it has all your links in there. So if you just put it all there and says, Monday nights I'm here, Tuesday here, like have a schedule with that kind of stuff makes it so much easier. Cause all you have to promote, yeah. It's branding, just promoting your .com. Everything's your .com to go find you for everything.
It just feels like then you're just waiting for things to happen if you're not promoting it. You know what I mean?
You're promoting, but you're building a brand up for yourself too. You can't promote every single, it's like the Kardashians aren't going out. They'll go and promote their latest project and go, hey, I have a new makeup line or my new clothing line, whatever. But they're not going every time they go out to promote something. It's like, oh yeah, for the last 10 years, I've been doing this clothing line and makeup line. And they're not just rattling off their credentials of the things that they're
working on. Does it seem like I do that?
Yeah, a little. I mean, it's not a bad thing. It's just there's so much you're rattling off. Just kind of simplify it. Say, hey, I do a bunch of different platforms at different times. Find me, RyanHoppyRadio.com. And
so should I even...
I mean, what do I know? What do I know?
Should I then not even share that I did this interview with you and just help people find it?
Yeah, please. Because who wants to hear it? I don't.
You don't?
I'm on it. No.
Damn.
No, of course.
My mind is blown, bro. I'm just debating right now. I'm a guy that's never speechless, and I'm literally speechless right now because I'm just kind of thinking about it. Like, maybe less is more.
I've learned over the last several years, you got to spoon feed people this stuff. You got to make it like a point click, and that's it. If you're two steps away, you're already too far from the audience. It has to be minimal one step away. So if you go to one, it's like, get my episode. Like when you're on Spotify and other platforms, they're all coming from your main RSS feed to wherever your show's being hosted. Just post the link to where it's hosted. Because if they don't want to go there, if they see that they can get it somewhere else, they'll go and look for it. But you put the main direct link to the file when you post everything so that they get it. You get that hit, you get that click right then and there. You got to make it squeeze like, oh, I did a new video. Boom, you click right there. It opens up YouTube or whatever platform and it's there ready to go.
I'm really thinking this out right now because I could just begin saying, go to my website in each post, essentially.
Do that. And if you have a video thing, just have your .com in the lower, across the bottom of the screen, opaque. So it's like a water bug on network television. Now you can kind of see the outline, but it doesn't obstruct the thing that you're watching. It's all these little tricks and tips and stuff like that it's all this dumb branding because that's the world we're in now. It doesn't even matter content. It's branding.
What do you think of that thing, Linktree?
I was using it for a while, but then, I don't know, they changed something with their coding, and then people started saying if I click on your .com, which would go to the Linktree, that it was getting warnings that it was like a phishing website or it was some kind of, like Norton was blocking it. So I switched to something else, and it's been working better.
What do you use?
Now I use... I think it's All My Links, I think it's called.
All My Links?
Let me double check.
Because I think that's what I need to do is have something where I go, I just recorded this, I just recorded this, here's the link to everything, and then just hope for the best.
All My Links, the one I'm using. Like you can organize it. Your icons fit the platforms that you're on. You can customize it all any way you want. And it's a cheap workaround instead of building a full website. Yeah, I've been doing that. So it's just like I have the .com. It points right to that. And like, there you go. There's everything.
Because it is tiring, dude. Like whenever I meet a listener or message people to like have to explain how to listen. And it's just like, I'm like, God damn it. You know what I mean?
Well, that's you've had the warning signs right there. If it's hard to explain how to get your stuff, if you're not trying to explain it to people, how are they just going to accidentally find you? They're not. So you got to put it all in one spot and then make it point click easy for them. So when you post social media, here's the link. Here's the link. If you got, if you're a certain status on Instagram, you can post your story and swipe up and here's the link. Goes right
I'm
to that.
Everything
has to be spoon fed to everybody or else they're just not going to come. It's unfortunately just the way it is. No one browses anymore. Nobody looks for stuff. They want it instant and they want it right in front of their face. Like click, send me the link. So here it is. There you go. Done. That's all they want.
Would you say I've improved since I sat in on your radio show 5 years ago?
No, absolutely not.
Damn.
Yes, you have. Your conversation has gotten a lot better.
Because now I'm very self-conscious about what I'm doing since we've been spoken.
It's called a power dynamic, and it's shifted into my direction now. Yeah, your branding still needs help, but your conversations that I've peeked in once in a while, I've been seeing who you've been talking to, and look, like I said, you have a love for it. You keep doing it, even though like all signs in this industry point to there's no chance in hell this is ever coming back in the format that we love or the shows that we like. It's just not the thing. And even podcasting, people went to podcasting. There's so many of them, and every company's now trying to switch to being a podcast company, and they're too little too late. Like, the next thing's going to come up in the next year or two, or especially right after the pandemic's done. People are going to give less of a shit about stuff that they needed to entertain them because they had nowhere else to go and nothing to do. So, like, TikTok's going to take a huge hit when the pandemic's all done and everybody's out, you know, going back to work, back to school, living their lives. You're not going to have people fucking dancing around, you know, and kicking the screen and changing outfits instantly and thinking like, oh, I'm cool shit. And that's all going to go away. The way people were listening to podcasts and stuff, companies are only buying celebrities because they think, oh, they're going to get millions of listeners for it. And most celebrity podcasts are terrible. There are some good ones, but a majority of them are terrible.
They're horrible, bro. It's so uninspiring.
Every comic has a podcast. And again, with them too, not all of them are good. There's certain ones that are really good and will probably survive going forward, but everything else is going to fall by the wayside. A lot of people started doing this because of the pandemic and the quarantine happened. Like, Staples had an end cap, and I think they still do. If you go in there, they have an end cap of podcasting equipment where you can buy the ring lights and microphone stands and tripods, and here's the equipment that you would need to start a podcast. Everyone's like, oh, I'll just do a podcast. Like, everybody was saying before that was just like, oh, I'll just go into comedy. Like, it's so easy. They all did it, and nobody's listening to it. There's hundreds of thousands of podcasts no one gives a shit about, yours and mine included.
I know. It's humbling. So humbling.
Yeah.
Do you ever
you want to... on it. That's good. Most people do this and then go, oh, shit, this is a job. You constantly have to do this. You have to work on it. You have to grow. And then sometimes you find a podcast, and you're like, oh, what? Oh, the last one they did was in 2017. How much? Yeah. Oh, they only did 7 episodes, and they were done. You're like, see, they realize it's work.
My thing is, I know everybody that does this wants to make it, but I just don't want to have my like legacy be like, man, he fucking tried hard. You know what I mean?
No, no one's going to fault you for that. Everyone knows knows you've been trying. It's just hopefully it pays off at some point. You know, you're working in the last bastions of radio as we know it. And who knows, maybe there's an opening, somebody leaves, something changes programming wise, you get a weekend show.
What I like is that whenever I interview somebody, unless they're a real asshole that doesn't promote it, everybody that promotes it, like, that really annoys me, number one. Whenever I interview somebody, which is why after this interview, I'm taking a break from interviews, because like, 80% of them will promote it, but then some of the people that I go in hoping are good, and I'll tell you afterwards, they don't promote it. And then I'm like, well, thanks, asshole. Like, it would have been nice to have some of your listeners. But the thing is, they all say the same thing where they're like, man, you got to give this kid a shot. You know what I mean? Like, no one goes, oh my God, that was pretty average. Like, Covino promoted it on their Patreon and that. So, like, for them to, like, take the time to talk about it.
Right. So here's something you do then when you have certain guests, because not every guest is going to promote it because they don't think that way, or they're just moving on to other things, to whatever. When your interview's done, you send them the link in the graphic, or you send them the link to your tweet and say, hey, do you think you could retweet this? Or, hey, if you could post that, it was a great interview. I appreciate it. You got it. Again, spoon feed the guests. You send it right to them right after it's done and up and go, hey, your episode's up. I appreciate your time. Do you think maybe you could retweet this or repost this or something? You got to take that extra step with it.
Damn.
And if they don't, then that kind of sucks. But if they do, sometimes they will. They'll be like, oh, yeah, cool, I didn't know. And then they'll do it for you.
Would you say you're happy with everything you've done post Opie and Anthony? I guess post Opie show when that shut down.
Yeah, I'm happy with what I did. I'm not happy with where the industry and everything went. Because if I tried doing that now, if I started now, there's no way in hell I probably would have gotten anywhere. You know, I started in the 90s, the mid to late 90s with all of this stuff. And I'm happy with it. A lot of it was out of necessity. You know, when I left Sirius, had to work out a deal with them, and they were paying me for, you know, almost a year after leaving. So I couldn't do a whole hell of a lot, but I worked it out where, you know, 3 weeks after I left Sirius, iHeart picked us up, and we've been doing the show for, you know, for iHeart Radio. Jesus, it'll be 4 years in September, end of September. So, you know, I went from Sirius XM for, you know, 3.5 years to for the show, not for my career there, but for my individual show. And then doing an iHeart, and then I'm doing the other show with Brian Johnson from AMC's Comic Book Man and Kevin Smith Movies and all that, and Tell 'Em Steve Dave. We do a show together for the last 2 years. And yeah, I like what we're doing. I just wish the industry was better. That I think that our, you know, both of those shows are solid. They were very well produced. They sound better than a lot of other shows. Maybe the content's not for you, but just, you know, content is going to be hit or miss for everybody when you listen to something. Like that girl's podcast on Barstool, that Call Me Daddy show, I listened to it. It really is not for me. I'm not the audience. I, you know, the language and the dialogue is just maddening because they just sound like idiots, but I get what she's doing. Bravo to Barstool, because they knew where the market was for that stuff, and they're doing great with it. And I'm just not the audience, but it doesn't mean it's a bad show.
It's so, for a girl that gets, because I went on a date with a girl on my birthday that listens to it. It's for the girl that's never going to be in a long-term relationship, and she might get married and have two divorces, but it's for that girl. I don't want to say that's like, how do I work? It's for a party girl.
Yeah, it is a party girl show.
Yeah, like, yeah. No.
Party girl who thinks that, you know, YouTube and Instagram are the way of life. And that's what it is. Like, everything's got to be, you know, your whole life's got to be documented. And everything's got to be like a photo shoot. And you got to look like a model all the time. And then you got to shit on guys all the time. Like, I know the audience. I know what they're doing. I'm not that audience. But I get what they're doing. And they do it well for what that is. They're the ones that do it the best.
I didn't mind it when I listened. But then her and the girl, Sophia, they like broke up. And then Sophia was saying on her podcast that there was some ghostwriter, some dude who is like a, I don't know if he was like a porn director, but he did something kind of like shady. And she was saying that he wrote everything. Because like, I found Alex to be entertaining. It gave me a migraine after 20 minutes. But I listened and I was like, for what she's doing, this is excellent for what she's doing.
Right.
But then when I found out that she didn't write it and that they had ghostwriters, I felt kind of disappointed.
The story was that it was Sophia and her, they got some guy from HBO or something
Something like that, yeah.
It was HBO that was trying to, all you know, negotiate a new deal for them to go somewhere else while they were had the contract with Barstool, and Portnoy stepped in and said, you're not doing this shit.
But when I was listening to the rant from Sophia, she was saying like, girl, you got your own ghostwriter for the show. Like, she was saying that, like, and that's what kind of like, I wouldn't say hurt as a listener, but I was like, oh, so it's scripted, which I guess I should have known better. But
you know what? And there's nothing wrong with that nowadays. Comics will be like, no, it's got to be raw and off the cuff, and you get a bunch of guys together and we'll just shoot the shit. That's what the O&A show was. Like, we were the ones that perfected that format of getting all the comics in there. We had some direction because we're a show, and like, we'd be talking about news topics and playing clips and stuff, or they would be talking about their lives and we'd make it into something, or the comics would make it into something. But there was like, you would come in, there was some stuff, but let's see what we can make out of it. A lot of the comic podcasts, they sit down and like, oh, we're doing this. And they're just rambling about stuff. There's no direction. It's 6 to 8 people talking over each other sometimes, or 3 to 4, you know, depending on which podcast. And there's no point. There's no flow. There's no real, I'm not saying it needs to be overly produced, but it should have some direction and some things
that
you want.
Does that make you mad? I've wanted to ask you, does that make you mad that you guys were like the goat of doing that format of like making it seem like you weren't trying, but you guys were trying really hard? Because I think that's what really aggravates me about comedy podcasts is everybody goes, oh, Opie and Anthony influenced me. Opie and Anthony influenced me. And then, like, you listen, and I go, but you're not – you guys were so good at not trying but working really hard.
It's not – it made it seem like we weren't trying. And sometimes we weren't. Like, you could listen to some shows and, like, wow, they just don't have it in them today. But it happens when you're doing, you know, at one point we were almost 6 hours a day when we had the CBS radio and XM deal. Like we would do 3 hours at CBS and then another almost three hours at XM. And, you know, 5 days a week, we weren't doing the Monday through Thursday schedule. We weren't doing a 2 hour show or 1 hour show like a lot of shows do now. We were doing 4 to 5, 5.5 hours a day. Not everything's going to be fantastic, but you'll have segments that will be like, oh my God, that was amazing. It was what it was. And it sometimes it sounds like, oh, they don't even plan. They just sit down. But we had articles to go to. We had clips to go to. If we didn't get to it, that's fine. We didn't get to it. But if we were in the middle of something and like Bob Kelly came in or Colin came in and we're like, what are you talking about? Oh, we're talking about the guy down in Florida who did this. And then they would chime in and be a whole discussion. And then we'd go into something that, you know, Bobby bought a brand new piece of technology that we're making fun of him for, or Colin's, you know, shitting on Norton for being a phony, or like any of those kind of dynamics that were there made it seem like, oh, it's just easy to sit down and do all that stuff. These are world-class comics, you know, that know how to do this, and they know each other personally, so they knew how to shit on each other and how to converse like that. And the show just, you know, O&A, all the credit to them, because they figured out how to work that dynamic without being comics and include everything, and everything got fused together. So when people are like, oh, you know, it's just easy. We come in, we shoot the shit. We don't have any format. That's not always a good thing. You should prep to have something and then not use it. Because if you do need it and you look down and you go, oh yeah, you have a whole list of stuff you wanted to talk about, it keeps you going. You don't have to sit there and try to remember everything and then forget it because you didn't write it down or you didn't have anything prepped. So prep, do all the stuff, get it all together, do all the work so that when you go and do the show, if you don't even touch it, then you had a great show. You know, you managed to keep everything going and find things to talk about and you didn't get to the majority of the stuff that you had, great. Carry it over tomorrow or the next show or whatever you're doing. But you can't just walk in there, sit down like, all right, guys, we're all going to sit there like every other podcast seems to do. And they don't have anything planned out. They're just going to do a round table of shit. And look, there's only certain shows that do that well. Legion of Skanks does that very well. But I'm sure you can go and look at any kind of show that has more than two people. They're really not doing it well because you don't know the voices. You don't know the setups. There's too many inside. Like they don't develop anything. And that's a big problem with that. Back to Alex's thing real quick, taking a quick step back. So what if her shows, she has somebody that writes some stuff for her that they have some prep and some script. They should. At that level, they're making millions of dollars. It's not just going to be, oh, we'll just sit down and whatever flows, comes off the top of her head is what we're going to go with. She should have that stuff done. And that's smart to have stuff done.
True.
Why is that look? Everybody views that as like, oh, you had prep and you had this and you got production. Yeah, try putting a little effort into what you're doing. That's actually showing that you're taking it seriously and making a go at it. Instead of every 100,000 podcasts where it's just everyone's like, oh, I'm going to do a podcast. Me and my four friends are funny. Okay, sit down and try it. And then there's no flow. Everyone's talking to each other. Nobody remembers what they're talking about. It's garbage. So what? Good for her that she planned stuff out and there's stuff written for it. Good. So what? Look how great they're doing, making millions of dollars. That's the goal. There's no integrity. There's no, like, you know, for a generation, like the millennials, and I don't know about the Gen Z stuff, but the millennials were like, it's all about being authentic and authenticity and being real and transparent and all these fucking buzzwords that they use. They don't live up to it. They're like, she's so real. She's so authentic. No, she's not.
No,
every
she's
fucking
not.
Photo and video has got 9 filters on it. She's got lip injections. She's got ass implants. And then they're doing electroshock, whatever, to their fucking thighs and all this stuff. Nothing about them is authentic. And what they're talking about is they're always doing the pose where they're sticking their tongue out and then they're doing these weird angles all the time. Like, why is that entertaining? I don't get that. And you're going to shit on these people? Oh, they have their stuff written. They've got stuff together. And, you know, they're not just reading. You know, they're just not being themselves. No, they're doing a show. This is entertainment. Well, put some effort into it.
It's funny. My generation is not the best generation because my girlfriend's 4 years younger than me, so she's like borderline millennial, but she's Gen Z, even though she's got more millennial in her. And like, she's got friends that are like 20, and it's fucking bizarre that they were like 5 in 2004. Like, there's that whole thing where that kind of messes with your mind. But like, everybody looks down on millennials, dude. Like, and I think we deserve it because like, Gen Z will see with time, with this decade, what they do, but they already don't use as much filters. They don't care about the things that millennials care about. And I think if there's going to be an up-and-coming generation that is authentic, it's the next generation, this current one.
Right. Look, millennials do get a bad rap because of, again, small portion of their generation. And I'm not shitting on them. It's just not a generational thing of, you know, older guy looking down at younger people. There's a lot of people I know that are millennials that work in, you know, the places that I work at, and they're fine. They're productive. They know what they want to do. They have stupid things, but every generation has their stupid things, whether you agree with it or not. The ones online, a small collective, are the ones with the loudest voice and makes their whole generation look like they're fucking idiots. So when you had all the stuff down, when everything was lit and fire and their fucking fascination with everything flaming hot, yeah, you know, Cheetos and Fritos and Lay's and all that stuff. Like, I can only eat this stuff. And then they're wondering why they're in the fucking hospital from acid reflux or ulcers and all that stuff, because you're not eating anything that, it's not like a pepper hot. It's a chemical burn.
Sushi.
You're
just dumping. What about the like sushi obsession? Everyone loves sushi. I like sushi, but.
That's fine. I mean, look, when I was growing up, people, I didn't know kids my age eating sushi. I never saw it. People weren't going out to sushi. It became a thing later on, like in the 2000s, that it became more of a, kids were drinking coffee, kids were going to get sushi and things like that. Just wasn't a thing from, you know, in the late 80s and through the 90s when I was growing up. That's fine if they do it. I don't, who cares? So they're going to eat sushi. That's not being, you know, that's not like a status symbol. That's not pretentious. It's not like if they're going to Nobu all the time, you know, if they're going to something like that and they're constantly, you know, look at my film, look at my videos, or they're going to those stupid clubs where they've got, you know, road flares shooting out of some kind of sugar, you know, dessert kind of thing. And they're everywhere. It's just so they can do photos and videos and stuff like that. Then, yeah, you're a fucking asshole. You just look like an asshole. But the majority of people aren't doing that.
What do you think are some flaws that the Gen Xers have?
I'll tell you what people say is a flaw, and I can tell you from myself and other people that are around my age, is that we don't care. And then people are like, well, they don't care. That's why, you know, the big fight generationally has been the baby boomer generation, which is my parents, and the millennials, which is the generation after me, you, right? They're constantly fighting because they don't like old people. Nobody likes old. I mean, you like old people if they're your grandparents or if you know somebody, but nobody likes the, when my generation was younger, I didn't really care about my grandparents. Like they were fine. I loved them, but I didn't care about what they thought or what they did or World War II or any of that stuff. But they're obsessed and rightfully so. The generation of my parents, they've all been very spoiled. That's why they were the baby boomer. They were given everything. It was right after World War II. They got all the, you know, the jobs, the money, they were controlling everything. And, you know, then you get the millennials who are screaming about politics now, which my generation didn't give a shit about.
It's so annoying, bro. I want it to go away.
Politics, it's all social media, you know, posturing and all this stuff. But you see, like, you elected a president who's the old, one of the oldest presidents we've ever had. But you're saying, oh, fuck the boomers, fuck all them. Like, where's your candidates? Where's all this stuff? Gen X doesn't have that representation. And that's a flaw that we, like, around our generation feel it's like we're not being represented in a lot of this stuff, but we also don't care. Like, you're not seeing candidates in from my generation running for office, running for president, running for all these other things. Some of the people that were running for the 2016 and the 2020 election on the Democratic side, they were younger. They were millennial guys. They were the ones who meet that criteria. Like, they were 35 to 40 in there for because it's the law. You can't run for president unless you're 35 in the United States. They were in that area. So you were seeing them being represented and you were seeing older people represented, but you weren't seeing the middle gap of us. And so if you want to say people like, what is the flaw of our generation? People say it's like, well, we're not very vocal. We don't care. We're not interested. Yeah, it is. We don't care. Like, I don't care about a lot of this stuff. I'll see stuff online. I'm like, I really don't care about this. It means nothing to me. I have every convenience that I need in my life. And I'm cool with that. I can watch every movie, every TV show is available on some streaming service at the click of the computer. Every piece of music in the world is available on some music stream. Every book is available to me digitally. Every video game now, you can stream every video game. You don't need to buy the damn video game thing anymore. You just sign up for certain services and it hooks right up to your PC, to your Xbox, all of that stuff. It's never been a better time. Everything is so convenient. and good. And you have people that are trying to say everything is terrible because all social upheaval and stuff. And granted, some of the social stuff is terrible. But outside of that, and the, I mean, take the pandemic out of play too, because that's just terrible for everybody. But if that thing wasn't around, well, it's not really that bad. Things aren't really that bad.
2019 was not that bad of a year, bro.
Yeah, wasn't that bad. Wasn't bad. I could walk around Manhattan and enjoy it. Now it's a shithole. And I get people like Gittles on my radio show, because right around Penn Station and Times Square and in that part of Midtown, there's a lot of homeless people, a lot of drugged up people that are just laying all over the streets. And like, there's human shit where it used to be dog shit on a corner. Now it's human shit all over the place. It's disgusting. And they're saying, it's like, oh, you know, his thing was like the cops are rounding them up and putting up there so that the news can focus on it. It's really not that bad in the city. But no, it's that bad. It's bad in the city. I said, you're getting all the businesses leaving, all the high money people that lived in Manhattan leaving, and they're like, "Good, let them leave. We know so more people can afford to live in there." Like, stop romanticizing the '70s for New York City, because you got art and culture and all those and movies and stuff out of there, but that was a portion of it. The rest of the city was in dire straits economically. Murder was through the roof, and attacks and the places were burning out, and there was no industry. Like, it was terrible. You want that so people can go, it's like, we need some of that grit back. We need to. No, I'm not of that thought. I'm like, I like that it was Disney-fied. I really did, because I could walk through Times Square all the way down to, from, you know, the 50s down into the 30s by Penn Station, and there wasn't a fucking problem. Yeah, there was buildings and everything everywhere, but it was nice.
You
I don't
know
care
the
about
movies Death Wish? How accurate were the Death Wish movies to New York City?
I don't know. That was before my time. But I've been told that they were... Well, Death Wish was Chicago, wasn't it?
No, wait. Death Wish. I think Chicago. I think the one with Bruce Willis was.
I don't know. I have to look that up. But
those movies are cringe, bro. Like the rape scene they would have. I'm like, Jesus Christ, I don't need to watch that.
Oh, with Jeff Goldblum.
No, the Death Wish movies with Charles Bronson. The old ones.
That's
from,
what
like,
I'm talking about. Death. Jeff Goldblum was, I think, in Death Wish 3.
I didn't know.
Where they attacked a rich woman.
It's very unwatchable. Like, it's not. And then the action, too. It's just like, I'm going to shoot you, and I'm going to shoot you. I'm like, Jesus Christ. And then the new Bruce Willis one from 3 years ago was just horrendous in a weird way.
Yeah, because it had Mancow in it, too.
It was the most random. It was Sway in the Morning and Mancow's Morning Madhouse, the most random combination of radio hosts ever.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're right. The original ones were based in New York.
Because I think I did some like Reddit reading when I was done watching the movie, which I do a lot, and they were saying that they were trying to like show what it was like in New York in the 70s and 80s.
Right. Yeah, city's a mess right now. I'm not thinking it's dead. It's going to take a while to recover, especially with the current, you know, mayor in office. Well,
does it feel like Governor Cuomo is being protected? Am I wrong about this? Because I'm 1,500 miles away, so I'm not in the know. But is he being protected?
I don't know. No, I don't think he's being protected, because even there's a lot of people in his own party that were saying that he needed to step down. But here's the other thing. So unless something's really proven terrible that he did, like, so far he's inappropriately kissing women. All right. But that's not enough to, if that was true, by the way, it's not enough to say he has to resign. This is a disgrace. But he doesn't have to do anything. You know, just because people say, I don't like what you did, you need to resign. No, you don't. You don't have to do anything. I think there was a poll recently where they surveyed, New York State is a big place. And if you go north of the city, it's a whole other country. It's all very conservative. And you go out to Long Island, it's very conservative. But you've got the city itself, very liberal. And, New Jersey and Connecticut right there, also very liberal. And they surveyed a lot of stuff. And the majority of the poll that they did was that they was like, yeah, well, he's doing fine. He's doing his job. Let him stay in office. I don't care. So he's not being protected. He's being called out. He's had some powers taken away that he added to himself during times of emergency with the quarantine and the pandemic and all that. Some of that stuff was scaled back. I don't know how the nursing home thing was going to play out, because I mean, that could have been, he held back 50% of the numbers. So there was a bigger death count than was being reported. And he might've just been doing that to fuck with Trump. I don't know. That still all has to be sorted out, but I don't think I'm not a fan of his at all.
Yeah, he's a creep.
But he's very, mafia tactic kind of guy. And it's all about business. It's nothing personal with anything he's doing. It's all business. So far, it's like it's getting stuff done, and I'm not a big fan of his. I don't live there, so I don't vote. I didn't vote for him.
Where do you live? New Jersey?
I'm in New Jersey. Yeah, I left New York. Jesus, when I lived in 2006, I moved over to New Jersey. It was just easier. And he's doing fine, I guess. You know, unless something really damaging comes out with these allegations. So far, he was just being, you know, creepy around women. He's a single dude. Who cares? You know, I mean, guys do all that shit. So now you can't flirt with people. Now you can't do all this stuff. I'm not defending the guy. I'm just saying, based on what's been told and what's been shown about all this stuff, I don't know. That's for, you know, better people to go through and sort all that stuff out. But so far, it's not enough to make him leave office.
Yeah, I think social media wanted him to, like, resign. And I don't know why he would resign. He doesn't seem like the guy that gives up.
Do anything wrong, the slightest thing comes back from your past, and it's like, no, you need to go. You can't work again. You're terrible. And then you're starting to see it now. It's starting to happen to the side that was really gung-ho about canceling everybody. Little by little, you're starting to see people on that side are starting to get...
You know what's fascinating? What about Jimmy Kimmel? He's this non-cancelable. He cannot be canceled.
I don't think he's done anything to be canceled.
Well, like,
I mean... He's a whiny baby, but I don't think he's done anything to be canceled.
Well, I mean, he wore blackface on, and I don't care.
That thing with the man show.
Everything on the man show. Like, it's just bizarre.
Alone. Yeah.
Everything on the man show could get you canceled.
But here's the thing. Like Fallon didn't get canceled when he was in blackface on Saturday Night Live, you know, and I think when it's under the guise of a comedy property, like they're not being racially discriminative. It might be insensitive, but it's not, they're not discriminating. So, I mean, Kimmel was playing Karl Malone, and I forgot who Fallon was portraying, but they were doing a character impression. I think he was doing Chris Rock, now that I'm thinking about it, for Fallon, but they were doing a character impression. So you got to have some leeway there. Should they have done it? Probably not, but you're allowed to do impressions. You're allowed to act and do things. Like when they tried to give Bryan Cranston shit, when he did that movie where he's in a wheelchair, I'm forgetting the name, but then people saying, like, why didn't they hire a real quadriplegic actor to take the role? Why did it have to be? Because you know why? You put somebody in that role, unless it's an indie film that gets a lot of buzz, no one's going to see it. No one gives a fuck. But Bryan Cranston's in there. Hey, I like Bryan Cranston. I like Malcolm in the Middle. I like Breaking Bad. I like some of the other things he's done. I'll go see that because I like Bryan Cranston. That's why he's in that role. And you're an actor. You're allowed to act and pretend to be other characters. You don't have to be exactly the character that you're portraying. Now, here's the weird, tricky balance to this. So when they get mad at whitening of Hollywood, right, which in some cases is legitimate. But when they're like, oh, well, this, you know, we're going to reboot this movie, or we're going to do this, or we're going to adapt this book, and the characters are described a certain way. Yeah, but you know what? We're going to put a black person in there. We're going to put an Asian person. We're going to make it all diverse and everything. That's fine. Okay. That's not what the characters were, but they're saying, why did the characters have to be that way? Why does Cinderella have to be white? You can have a black Cinderella. You can have a black when they did the Little Mermaid live on TV, they had, I forget her name, but she was an African-American actress who was portraying Ariel. And it's like, I don't care. Who cares? That's not that big a deal. When it's an adaptation of something, you know, but when you go and you write something like, this is about my family, well, you don't have enough diversity in this cast, so we need to put something in there. But that's not my story. That's not my family. That's not my friends or any of this stuff. I'm not putting in, I have a black friend just because you're telling me I need to have a black friend for my life story or for what the characters I wrote. That's where it gets a little tricky. It's like, you're like, oh, you're forcing yourself into somebody's art, but then on the other side, you're protecting art, saying it's sacred. Don't change people's art. It's like, you can't pick and choose what works for you and then not follow the same rule. You know, like here's your rule. You want to do this. Okay. But well, we're not doing it here, but you're going to force it into here. Why? Why is that? Okay. You can't do that shit. It's very, a lot of hypocrisy when it comes to all of that stuff.
Where can people find rants like that?
RyanHoppyRadio.com. It's all one place. All the links are right there. I'm on 19 different platforms, but if you go to RyanHoppyRadio.com, hopefully that will have a link.
You know, that's going to give me a panic attack tonight, wondering if I'm doing the right things, by the way, Eric. Thank you for that.
Right. You're very welcome.
I'm just kidding.
You can hear me. Go to itsericnagel.com. ERIKNAGEL. If you're listening to this, I'm sure it's in the description there, unless he can't type. But I don't know his.
I can type.
You know, if he can read at this point. But if you go to itsericnagel.com, you have links to the iHeartRadio show that I do with Gittles and Zia. You have the links to the audio stuff, again, on iHeartRadio, but we're also on Spotify, Pandora, all the places you can get a podcast or on-demand stuff were there available. And the video versions on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/ItsEricNagel, also on the .com. Everything's right there for you. And the other show that I do is called Would You Kindly with Brian Johnson from Tell 'Em Steve Dave, Kevin Smith Movies, AMC's Comic Book Men. We do a show once a week, and you can find that also at itsericnagel.com or compoundmedia.com. You can go there and subscribe and watch.
Well, dude, keep up the good work. It's been a lot of fun having you on the show.
Well, payment for me coming on the show is you got to go to itsericnagel.com and buy a t-shirt, and you got to wear it on one of your things.
I will. I'm down. I'm definitely doing Zoom now. I was so nervous in the beginning. I'm just having a hard time lately.
When the quarantine hit, we've been doing Zoom and Discord and a couple other things to do keep the shows going since we weren't going into Manhattan anymore. That's how we did it. So if you look at the videos for my shows, we're all in our own little home studios or makeshift studios, whatever the other people have, and we're all connected through there, and we just do it all through the cloud. That's the way everything's done now. That's how TV's being done. That's how a lot of radio's being done. Most people like Kalta. I watch Kalta and Kelly on Bobby Kelly's Patreon, and, you know, Mike made a nice studio at his home, and I don't think he's been back to the...
No,
to the
not bar. In like 14 months.
Yeah, I see you behind a seat all the time, you know, because you're going in there and working and running the boards, but everybody else, nobody's going back to do it. So, because now you can do it now. You have the high HD cameras, you got the microphones processing. Like, I've got all this other equipment for all different, like four different platforms that we're doing stuff. There's all this equipment to switch everything around to do what we need to do. I don't need to be at a radio station anymore. I'd like to. But I don't need to be there. So,
yeah, man.
You're getting there. One step at a time. You got to look up, you got to do Zoom, maybe even StreamYard. Look at that. You need Streamlabs, OBS, which is your whole switcher thing. And then maybe try to do live streaming while you're doing the show. Do it on Twitch or YouTube.
Well, that's going to be on the No Filter Network.
Okay, there you go. Available at RyanHoppy.com with 19 other platforms.
RyanHoppyRadio.com.
RyanHoppyRadio.com. RyanHoppy.com is a porn site. You don't want to go there.
I don't want to. Or maybe you did. Could you imagine?
Who owns RyanHoppy.com?
I don't know. If there's not a person that owns it, I should probably own it.
Yeah, go ahead. Get your name. Because anytime you can shorten your name instead of like with the radio or show or any of that stuff, get the show version, but if you can just get your name, then you can use it for everything you do.
Makes sense.
Go make an offer and do that.
I will. Well, thank you for the tough advice, because everybody that has come on the show in the last 3 months that I've been doing interviews has kissed my ass. So it's very humbling to have you just go in.
I like you, Ryan. I enjoy what you do. I'm not kissing your ass. There's no reason to kiss your ass ever.
Oh, no, I'm saying people that have, like, come on the show that have literally, like, talked about it on their show or social media, and they're like, oh, it's so amazing. This kid's the future, blah, blah, blah. And you're just like, no. You got to fix your brand, dude.
Yeah. So here's what I'll do for you, because to show you how I'm being honest and my appreciation of you, I will not talk about it. I will not promote it. I will not do anything. I will not even acknowledge it. Yeah. I won't even come back next time.
Okay.
See, that's how much faith I have in you and how much I support you.
Thank you, bro. That means a lot. You're not. Okay.
And
I'll
tell who are these podcasts not to listen to this and not to go after and review your show.
Oh, God. I actually kind of want them to. Oh, God. They would roast it so hard. I don't want to think about it. Actually, I do want to think about it, because I'll take the free attention, because at this point, I'm all in on the radio heel thing, because it's just.
Right.
I mean, the fact, I know you got an obsession with Rover. No. There's just something that I will never not be a part of that show. And the fact that they talked about my video, like, that, there's something to be in that heel thing. Like, I'm all in. The fact that Shane French thought about me 6 years later and talked about it for 30 minutes, bro, there's something there.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah, fuck him.
Oh, you know, no. He's
not longed for this world anyway, so.
I'm longed for it.
You are, unfortunately. My favorite thing, by the way, anytime I've come down to Tampa and I visited Calta and the Bone and everything, one of my visits, well, favorite thing that Calta's ever said about you, you were complaining about something. And Calta's in his office, and he goes, I'm giving you a compliment, you dumb Frankenstein. And I never forgot that. I'm that is such a perfect way to think about Ryan Hoppe as being a big, dumb Frankenstein.
Was that when, that was like 2015, that was when we went to Hooters, right?
Yeah, I think that was the last time I was down in Tampa, yeah.
Damn, that was 6 years ago.
I know. As soon as this opens up, I've got family all through Florida I haven't seen in 2 years. So when all this opens up, I'm going to have to do a road trip around Florida to see everybody.
You just got to get your two shots. I mean, my mom came down. She's a nurse.
I got them already.
So then come down. Yeah. What are you waiting for?
Just, well, because I have people in my family here that are immune compromised. That, true. You know, even though I know some things have opened up, not every business has opened up in New York. A lot of the studios, like, I mean, you guys are a little different, but a lot of the studios in Manhattan aren't fully open. Most people aren't wanting to come back right now. And they're looking at September for maybe trying to roll everything open again. But yeah, I have some family members here that are, you know, compromised and they can't get the vaccine anytime soon because of their conditions. And so I got to play it really safe. You know, I go to Compound once or twice a week to do stuff there. I got to do the rest from home. I'll do the supermarket. I'll do Home Depot, like anything that's a necessity. But outside of that, I don't go anywhere. I don't do anything.
I'm the opposite.
Well, you're down in Florida. Florida and Texas don't seem to give a shit. And I'm not like anti-vaxxing or mass shaming or any of that stuff. Do what you want to do. But I know for me, it's just like, this is what I need to do. So that's just how I handle everything.
It's very... But,
yeah, I would love it if it would open up. I'd go down to Florida. I'd be going to Disney World now. Why not?
It's very bizarre how, like, we just never shut down. And even when we did, we barely shut down for, like, 6 weeks.
Yeah, I'm not even getting into the conspiracy of it or the people who quote the numbers. Like, they've been open and their numbers are lower than or just about the same as when everyone else closed down. And I don't know what the answer is. Nobody apparently knew what the answer is. Everybody tried doing it the way that they thought best. And here we are. So we're just trying to get through this. I'm waiting for this to all be done.
Hopefully.
And then I'll come back down to Florida and I'll come down and bug you guys again.
Sounds good, bro.
All right.
All right, dude.
Thank you, Ryan, for having me on. I appreciate it. Again, if you want to find me, RyanHoppeRadio.com.
Sounds like a plan, bro. Thank you.
All right. Take care.